Hi folks, welcome to the A Minute to Midnight show. This is Tony coming to you from New Zealand. And with me on the show, I have my friend John Haller, who is has been a regular guest on the Minute to Midnight show for several years, though it's been a while since we have done a show together. And both John and I are kind of having a little bit of a battle with our throats and noses and whatnot. So if we cough and splutter a bit, you know why. We're both going through it at the moment. Anyway, welcome back, John.
Good to be back. I think the commonality in our thing is we're both in California, so we're both getting over overexposure to California, maybe.
I think so, yes. We caught it around about the same time, I think, too. So, yeah, it's been over 2 weeks for me now. I've been home and still struggling with it. So,
same here.
Anyway, we're still alive and we've still got voices. So,
yeah, they haven't got us yet.
No, they haven't. This is dead right. So there's been a lot of interesting things happening lately, John, and we were just talking off air about one of them. So I think we'll go start with there, and I'll let you introduce that topic, John.
Well, we have this Maui fire. It's a horrible, horrible tragedy. Now, I've been to Maui a couple times, and I've been to Lahaina probably half a dozen or more times in my life. Now, it's been 35 years. Actually 37 years since we were there the last time, but Lahaina was like old Hawaii. You know, this is like, for a while it was the capital of the Hawaiian kingdom. It's where a lot of the Hawaiian natives live. And what's happened, there's a couple things that happened on Maui. I mean, it's one of the most beautiful islands that you can see. And it's very unusual in the way its weather works. There's a giant volcano, Haleakala, that's about 10,000 feet. So you can go from sea level to the top of Haleakala in a 35-mile drive, and you go up essentially 2 miles in elevation. But what happens is Haleakala catches the weather that comes from the east. So the east side of Maui, which is the Hana district, is like a tropical rainforest. I mean, waterfalls all over the place, jungle, lush orchids, big, huge trees, streams, rivers, lakes, ponds. It's an amazing, amazing place to go. But when you come around Haleakala, and one time we went all the way around, you're not supposed to, but we went all the way around, and you literally get to a place where there's like a green, the line is green on one side and brown on the other, and it's where the weather changes. So you go from East Maui, which gets 250 to 300 inches of rain a year. And there's another mountain in West Maui, not too far from Lahaina, that gets over 300 inches of rain a year. They're two of the wettest spots on the earth. But then you get on the west side of Haleakala, and you're in one of the worst deserts you'll ever see. They literally get 2 inches of rain a year. Lahaina gets a little bit more because it's a little bit more out of the shadow of Haleakala. They get about 13 inches of rain a year. And it used to be like in the 80s when we were there a few times, they had these huge sugarcane fields between Lahaina and a town down on this sort of on the southwest part of Maui called Kihei, Wailea. Now it's a big resort area. So we were there. There was just in the beginning of some of the big, big developments. But the whole coastal area, particularly the area north of Lahaina, Kanapali and Kapalu are some of the most expensive real estate in the world. And then there's a place called Upcountry. So they had these wildfires last week. Don't really know yet exactly how they started. I've read dozens of eyewitness testimonies, New York Times and other places, looked at tons and tons of videos about how these things started. I will just say is that this was a horrible situation. It might have been intentionally caused. It certainly appears at a minimum was negligently caused. I don't know if you've heard of Ed Dowd. Ed Dowd wrote a pretty good book on the statistics. He used to work for BlackRock, but he'd been studying the statistics of what happened after, we'll just call it the state-approved treatment for Charlie Vector 019, or I think people know what we're talking about. And the excess deaths that had occurred.
Yeah.
after that, and just in some of the insurance statistics that he was getting and analyzing. He's a business analyst, and he looks at these things from that perspective. And he's got a book out. You can look it up, Ed Dowd. And he lives in Maui. And I saw an interview with him the other day. They couldn't get to him for 2 or 3 days after because the power was all out. But he was on, and he talked about the fact that there were extremely high winds. And his friends over in Lahaina, he lives in Kihei, about 20 minutes away. And he said there were just incredible high winds. The power lines are, you know, swaying around and everything. That what had happened, at least initially, were that some of the power lines got blown over. And I've seen videos where people are running up the streets to get away. And there's power lines down all over the place. There are trees down because they had this hurricane a couple hundred miles off the coast of Maui that caused the winds to be somewhere 70, 80, 90 miles an hour. And so it blew over some of the transformers. The transformers popped. The lines caused sparking on the ground. And because the sugarcane plantations have been taken away and they've just let them grow over with these non-native grasses, these non-native grasses grow 7, 8 feet tall. They're very dry. They're proliferate. And they've just kind of, as these big companies have come in to buy up all the land with the hope of resort development. And, you know, there's a lot of celebrities over there. Jeff Bezos paid $78-80 million for a property. Oprah's got a place up country, and she just, I think, put an offer in on 2,000 more acres. So there's a lot of mansions of these big celebrities over there. I mean, just, you can find the list very easily. And there's been this concern in Lahaina among the native Hawaiians that own property there is that developers want to get their property. And by most estimate, the property, raw property and stuff in Lahaina is probably worth in the billions of dollars. And it's oceanfront. There's a, you know, there's a harbor there where the whaling vessels used to go out. I don't know if it's a, what you would call a big deep water port. And I think another thing that a lot of people don't know about Maui is some of the most important first line U.S. Department of Defense installations are on Maui.
So any of these celebrities, these big name billionaires and so on, and these military type installations, none of them were affected by the fires, right?
No. If you go, if you can get access to the New York Times, I sent you the map in your messenger, and the New York Times has done a pretty good job of reporting on this. They have the staff to do it, and they've interviewed a lot of people, but they took a graphical map of Lahaina. And you can see all the red dots. There are probably 3,000 structures that were either completely destroyed. And I mean, this is destruction that's, I'm sure everybody's seen the videos and pictures. It's almost hard to describe. And I've seen people of some videos today of people that have been posting, because they haven't been able to post until now, of people sort of with the fire coming towards them from south to north. And they're on, you know, certain on these streets in Lahaina where their houses, and they're all wood houses. They're close together. There's a lot of vegetation around. It's not what you would call upscale neighborhood type stuff. And it just went through there and destroyed them. And it's interesting if you look, I can't remember where I saw it, but there's a video. It's like a helicopter tour of the coast, and they're coming up the coast from the south, and there's this resort area to the south where there's what I would call mansions and very upscale, very expensive condominiums and a lot of green around them and that type of thing. And they're fine. When you get to the southern border, literally like the southern city limits of Lahaina, and it's gone all the way to the north, pretty much all the way to the north city limits of Lahaina. And then it stops. And then just to the north of that is the Kanapali Resort. There's couple golf courses, a few golf courses there, big condominiums, you know, Hyatt Regency Maui, Westin Maui. I mean, just these huge resort hotels, and they're all fine.
So let's look, you know, One of the theories that's out there, John, and we have to be careful how we say this, people claiming that it's something that sounds like dew on the ground, but it's not dew on the ground, but it ends in weapon, you know. And, well, I think people will know what we're talking about. What are your thoughts on that? I mean, you have had in California in the past, several years ago, and also in Canada, simultaneous fires starting at exactly the same time, and it seems odd. And people are saying, well, it's these weapons that have caused the fires to start. Now, I'm on the fence about it. I know the technology is there for these weapons, for sure. We know that. There's patents, there's, you know. But are they using them? Well, that's a whole other ball game. So what are your thoughts on that?
Well, if they're using them, we're in much more dire situation than we think. Yeah. That's number one. And look, after the last few years, I wouldn't put anything past anybody, you know?
Yeah.
But, you know, I think that there's, early in my legal career, I did a lot of gas and fire and gas explosion cases. So I've kind of been around investigators of fires and that type of thing. And so I don't know that it's a good argument to say, well, the trees are standing. Why did the house burn and the tree stand? And there's a rational reason for that, whether you want to believe it or not. Okay. Green trees are full of water. That's why they have green leaves. Now, some of them, it depends on the type of sap. So, for example, a pine tree has resin, which might be more flammable. Mm-hmm. And in a longer burning fire, like it's in a forest with a lot of brush and debris on the ground, and it's going to burn for a while, the pine trees are more likely to burn. And then the other thing, too, is the trees almost turn into like chimneys. So just because a tree is standing doesn't mean that it's severely damaged. It's just that it was full of water. But the wood in a house, for example, some of these houses are over 100 years old. Mm. And that wood has been drying out for 100 years. It's not been full of water or anything like that. Yeah. It is a tinderbox. And when you have fast-moving fire come through, I mean, it's well documented that these fires will just the houses will almost literally explode. You add to that the power lines blowing down, trees blowing down power lines. And I've seen videos of these today. And so there's these, they didn't turn the power off. And everyone says, well, why didn't they turn the power off? Well, one of the reasons they didn't turn the power off is because the water system runs on electricity in Lahaina. And so if they turn the power off, there's no water. The other thing that's kind of interesting is, and I remember this very, very clearly from driving around Maui. I live in Ohio. We get very cold winters at times. And so we bury our pipes, you know, several feet down in the ground. A lot of times in Maui, you drive around and you will see the plastic PVC pipe just laying on the ground. Well, that's a problem because if they bury them, they only bury them just to cover them up with dirt. And when you have a hot fire go through, it'll melt the line and the line will be destroyed and the water will drain out of the system and all the pressure will be gone. So it was like a perfect storm of all these things that went wrong. And so hot embers are burning ahead of the fire. If you look at the New York Times graphic, there's really only one area that isn't burned. It's a large structure. It appears to have a metal roof from the Google satellite images. And there's a Safeway store and some others. It's almost like a little miniature mall. And it's still standing. So a lot of people said, well, you know, look at the big box stores, but everything is closed. The infrastructure is completely destroyed and it's going to be, you know, it's going to be months before they have power in some of these places within Lahaina. But it is interesting that it's pretty much old Lahaina that's gone. Nothing else. There was another fire upcountry that destroyed about 500 structures around the same time because they had power lines blow down up there and cause those fires. So it was a big problem. There were several big fires all over, like four or five of them around Maui.
So the interesting thing is you had no water, like you've just said, so people couldn't even put out the fires because there wasn't any water. You had traffic being stopped. You know, I've seen stuff about the traffic being seemingly stopped for no reason, so people couldn't even get out of the one road. And nobody really seemed to understand why. There's that. You had the same police chief that was over the Las Vegas. There's a whole raft of things. You had the siren system that they've got, this fancy siren system, and that didn't even get used. It's like there's either a whole lot of comedy for errors and coincidences, or this is a planned event. And because, you start to question coincidences these days when there's so many of them. I don't believe in coincidences anymore.
Formula is for, how many coincidences does it take to make it a planned event?
Yeah.
But there are a whole bunch of coincidences there. Here's another one, too, is that there is some, and I've got to research this, but there's some indication that because this is a historic area, this, historic capital of the Hawaiian capital before they moved to Honolulu, after the Americans came in and kind of started redirecting things. But so it has kind of a sacred aspect to it, to the Hawaiians. And listen, there's a lot of tension there in the islands. I remember when we were there on our first trip in 1984, we stayed out in a undeveloped area, pretty much undeveloped area of the west part of Oahu for the first week. And we were told, don't go to the beaches if you're the only Americans there, because it's probably not safe for you to be there because there's a lot of tension with the locals. They don't like the development. They feel like people are coming in and taking their land, and they are. They're coming in. I mean, so there have been reports now with developers calling people who've lost their homes in Hawaii and Lahaina, offering to buy up their property already. And if this was intentional, so let's assume this was intentional. And everybody says, well, they've locked the city down. They're not letting anybody in. If this was intentional, though, look, I'm an attorney. I've done criminal investigations and that type of thing. This is one of the largest crime scenes in the history of mankind. And so you have all of these people that have not been identified, haven't even been found yet. And it's going to take a while. Now, I've heard they've gone over about 30 to 40% of the town now. The death toll's, I think, over 100 now, and there's concerns that it could be 500 to 1,000, a lot of them children, because of the winds and the fires and that type of thing that had been occurring on days leading up to this. School was closed, so a lot of these kids were home, and they didn't know what to do. And so it's a big problem, but there's some indication, too, that there is a provision in the law that unless the area is just like completely destroyed, it can't be rezoned for development. But now you have the area, it's destroyed. I mean, it is devastated, destroyed. And there's some concern that the state's going to come in, buy up the land at a bargain price, and then sell it off to developers. And the last sort of, one of the last probably two or three pristine bastions of Hawaiian culture on Maui will be gone. I think up around, can't remember the name, there's a town on the north coast where they do a lot of windsurfing. And then there's Hana way out. And Hana's probably going to always be protected because it's hard to get to. There's a road that goes out there, but there's like 900 hairpin turns on the way out. It takes several hours to drive out there. So, but it is interesting that the old town of Lahaina, from the resort on the south to the Kaanapali resort in the town on the north, is pretty much gone. I mean, it is unbelievable. And when you see these videos of people walking down the street trying to get away, and they're saying, oh, they're turning the traffic around to try to reroute it because there's a fire to the north. It was like the fire went a couple different directions as it came into town. And so the stoppage, at least some people said, well, they were stopping the cars to turn them around because they couldn't go that way because of down power lines. That's why the cars were being stopped. But the communication system is destroyed and the cell phone towers are down. And, you try to imagine what it's like in today's world where you don't have any communications at all. I know how it is around our house when, the power goes out for a couple of hours. And now you're talking a place that these they're not going to have power for maybe for several months. Mm-hmm. Certainly, and there's no homes to go back to, though. There's no reason to go back. Everything is gone. Everything is gone. It's destruction almost unlike anything that
I've
ever seen.
Perfect opportunity for BlackRock.
Well, they've come in, and there are these big companies like BlackRock and others that are coming in, and they're buying up houses in a lot of places in America. Mm. So why wouldn't they buy it up here, where the upside is this? When we went there in 1984, we got a one bedroom condo in Kihei, and it was eight nights. We got seven nights and buy seven nights, get one night free. It was $70 a night for seven nights, $490. I remember the amount. And I was talking to somebody the other day, and they were sort of laughing at me, like, if you wanted to rent a condo for 4 hours in Kihei now, it might cost you $490. Mm. Let alone, it's probably $2,000 a day. So these are very high income, wealthy, uber rich resorts all along here. I mean, like I said, Jeff Bezos bought a 4,500 square foot house and about a 2,500 square foot guest house on 14 acres in South Maui, and he spent $78 million. Mm. So there's a lot of money for people out there to be made. And so that raises a lot of suspicions. But I think the way this, if I understand this law correctly, I have to research it some more. But if that law is correct and this area is destroyed, then it can be rezoned. Because it was kind of a funky beach town, you know, that stretched for a couple, 3 miles along the coast. The t-shirt shops and surf shops and restaurants, and there's a giant banyan tree right in the middle of Lahaina near the harbor, and it's questionable right now whether it will survive. It's been there for about 150 years. It was planted back in the 1870s to commemorate the beginning of the Kingdom of Hawaii. I think it was a gift from India, and it's a spectacular tree. I mean, it's this humongous thing, but I don't know that it'll survive. Some of the pictures and they said it was smoldering at the base in places. So it looks like it's there. It may not survive.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you mentioned the fact the state could buy up that land or take over that land, which sounds awfully like the World Economic Forum's vision.
Well, you know, the other coincidence, if you will, is that over the last year, there have been conferences held on Oahu and Maui and stated goals by the government of Hawaii to make Maui the first smart island to be governed by AI in the world. And there is supposed to be a conference. I don't know if it'll be held now, but there's a conference coming up in about a month. About 5 weeks on Maui to discuss the same thing, making Maui in this area a smart city, a 15-minute city, everything controlled by electricity and that type of thing. So, you know, here they have the ability to completely rebuild. It's going to have to be rebuilt. The question is, how is it going to be rebuilt? So there's a lot of animosity, a lot of anger over there. And then there's been trouble getting aid in. People have been turned away trying to bring aid. Now, what some of the people are doing is they're loading it on boats and launches, and they're bringing, you can see the videos online, bringing stuff into the harbor, and they're sort of bypassing the roadblocks that have been set up.
I mean, I've seen that people are having to get permission slips to even go to their homes, which were not affected by the fires. You know, they could be several miles away and they can't even go to their homes.
Yeah. So there's a bypass road around that was closed down for a while. I don't know. It's I'm sitting here looking at the Google Earth satellite images of what it was like before. And there's been a fair amount of development south of town, which is, didn't have anything happen to it. And it's newer. It's probably going to have different construction. I don't know if it's built to different codes and that type of thing. Like parts of Florida are built to different codes after a hurricane than they were before. So I don't know. But the old Lahaina was a lot of wood buildings closely packed together. And this thing just roared through there and just, it literally like exploded because it's such dry wood for sure.
Yeah, well, like you, that's very interesting about the coincidence, again, of them wanting to build smart cities controlled by AI. I mean, that is the World Economic Forum's vision. And, right. You know, the UN's Sustainable Development 2030 goals and all that. So,
yeah. So given the size of Lahaina before this and having been there, outside of the resort areas to the south and north, Lahaina probably already was a 15-minute city. I mean, everything was within 15 minutes of one end or the other. I mean, you could certainly walk from one end to the other probably in an hour. So it's not a huge place. It's several miles from north to south, and then it kind of goes up towards the foothills a little bit in one section. But there are a lot of coincidences. And then the one thing that I will say is very difficult to explain is the number of boats in the harbor that caught on fire. Now, of course, if there's flying embers, that could catch, you know, a canopy or something on the boat on fire. And then the boats have fuel sources. That's why the cars are just devastated. They have tank of fuel, and you know, they have a lot of combustibles in them, fabrics, plastics, and that type of thing that are just going to melt. They have alloy wheels that would melt in high heat. So you see the steel structure of the cars, and everything else is just gone. I was looking at a picture of a Tesla fire, a Tesla that caught on fire, and the aftermath of it was there just was, you know, sort of a part of the hunk of the car and the frame that was metal in the middle, and that was it. Mm. And the rest was just completely trashed. So that's why car fires are serious. I mean, I had a lady get hit in front of me by a semi. I mean, literally 10 yards away, she got hit by a semi at about 55 miles an hour. And fortunately she survived. But when we got to the car, there's diesel fuel, there's gasoline leaking all over, stuff coming out of her engine. It's hot, you know, and we can't get the door open. We can't get this lady out because we were running around like, man, we got to get the emergency people here because we're afraid of a fire. Because if it catches on fire, there was no way we could save this lady. She was in that truck. You needed the jaws of life to open the door. So it's a serious situation. And when you see some of those videos in the background, you hear this pop, 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 and it's cars exploding up the street. You know, so these people that you see, they walk by, these people are in a line of cars trying to get out of town. They're all dead. Their cars are destroyed.
Yeah.
They've been incinerated in just a matter of literally seconds.
And then your illustrious president basically wouldn't even comment. The man in the White House, I mean, that's like, and then the amount of aid they're promising for Hawaii, but pales into insignificance compared to the shoveling of free money to the Ukraine constantly.
Yeah, it's, I mean, we're going to spend billions of dollars on restoring this. Somebody is, and the developers are going to come in and say, hey, you know, we'll do it. We'll help you out. But, you know, the people that have one of the last areas maybe of, if there's any affordable housing on Maui, it's likely to have been in sort of this area a little bit, and that's where a lot of native Hawaiians still live. They've sort of tried to protect their culture there. It's a massive, massive tragedy. And there's too many coincidences. I cannot explain all these boats on fire in the harbor. A few, but I saw pictures with, you know, a dozen boats on fire in the harbor. It's almost hard to describe what happened.
Yeah, well, it's a sad situation, but I think these types of situations appear to be playing out more and more around the world. And of course, they blame it on climate change.
About a week ago, the Evening Standard in London had its cover about the earth burning, and it was like the earth on fire. And then it had, you know, Biden and the current prime minister of UK and Xi and I think Putin they're like, what are you guys going to do about the earth burning? And so it's not global warming anymore. It's global burning. Mm-hmm. And it has been hot in a lot of places. We've had kind of a weird year. We've had a lot of hazy days, and you can even smell smoke from the Canadian fires coming down our, though they're well over, they're thousands of miles north of us and east and west of us. And it's affected our weather and our sun. It's been kind of a hazy summer. Well, you were here.
I was there, and I definitely was very noticeable on some days, the haze from the fires in Canada for sure.
But we were in May, and we saw a big grass fire in Saskatchewan. And there you can see it. We could see it like 30 miles away. Mm. And we got there, and it had burned hundreds of acres on both sides of the Trans-Canada Highway. We watched it burn. I mean, it just came up. And then while we were there up in northern Alberta and other places, a lot of fires started, and they appear to start almost simultaneously. So I'm not sure there aren't climate activists out there that are doing these things. I think that's a distinct possibility.
Well, there's a lot of these possibilities with the fact that they're simultaneous and so on, you know. Like the dew on the ground again.
But I do think that this is something we're going to expect. I personally think, Tony, that the Earth is kind of – the sun is kind of going through a cycle where we're going to expect more of this. And that is yet another coincidence of – especially given the times of everything that the times we live in, where I'm looking through the news and it's like the drumbeats of war everywhere. North Korea, China, South China Sea, Russia, Ukraine, Poland, Belarus, the entire continent of Africa looks like it's about ready to explode. Places in the Middle East, Turkey, Azerbaijan. I mean, it's everywhere you look, there's something going on.
Wars and rumors of wars.
That's right. But these, I don't know what I would call them. I'll just call them climate incidents. I don't know that that's a good term, but the climate incidents seem to be rising. Mm. Somebody told me there was a big resort area in southern France that had been burned in the last couple of days. I haven't been able to confirm. I haven't had time to confirm that. So I probably shouldn't have said anything about it. Mm. But this is happening. I mean, and then you have these people who want to control everything and put us into these 15-minute cities and climate lockdowns. And when you call them, oh, no, that's not what we mean. But it is what you mean, because you have conferences on it on Maui. In 5 weeks, you have a conference coming up to turn Maui into a smart city or a smart island.
Yeah, it's definitely – it's not conspiracy theory. It's fact that, you know, it's not hard to source the information and put it together what the agendas are. They're very plainly out in the open. So, and as far as, you know, the climate being the excuse – you know, there's just so much nonsense and so many cooked books and figures and all of that it's very hard to make an objective judgment on a lot of it because certainly, there's so much hysteria around it.
Certainly people have an agenda. The administration prior to Trump, who had a president from Hawaii, somebody suggests, well, maybe he can go over there and clean this mess up. And that's been suggested, but I've seen some of his people about how we need to be very careful with one of his people that he had, who's now over there in Hawaii, was just interviewed recently and was saying that, well, we need to be very careful about how we allow the water to be used because the water is almost sacred in Hawaii.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Burning homes maybe can be sacrificed to the sacred water or something. The world is really, I just was sort of sitting looking at things this morning, and I'm like, I've been saying this for a few years now. It seems like it's crazier and crazier every day.
Yeah.
And it's like exponentially increasing. And it's certainly a time where people ought to prepare to meet the Lord. That's one thing for sure. Because we don't know, our time on this earth is limited. And the Lord may return in the near future, and then any decision that you haven't made for the Lord, that it's locked in at that time. That will be a lockdown that you don't want to be a part of.
Yeah, well, I guess that's a good way to finish this. We'll look to wrap it up now, John. But yeah, sure, you're right. It is time to realize these are the end times, I believe, that Jesus spoke of. We're seeing all the signs, and it's exciting and scary at the same time watching it all unfold, and pretty unsettling because it's obvious that things are going to continue to escalate in these mm-hmm. different ways, and there won't be a lot of settling.
Yeah. I would just encourage people to sort of take to heart the fact that there are a lot of things going on. And we could have spent an hour talking about what I think is a coming food crisis with what's been going on in Russia and Ukraine. Ukraine literally could almost feed the world on its own, properly managed. But it's not going to be supplying anything to the world for a generation now. Its facilities are gone. They'll have to be, unless they can rebuild them very quickly. And maybe some people will come in there and say, hey, look, Ukraine's the model. I think that's one of the goals they have. But
yeah, we can create insect farms and fake meals out and so on and change everything and make Ukraine, AI driven and so on. I mean, it's just, I won't go there. I think we'll leave it at that. But yeah, we should come back and discuss some of this stuff again soon, John.
I think that would be a good idea. And it was good. Sorry we didn't get to see you when you were in the States, but maybe next time.
Yeah, I know. I really wanted to come and see you as well. And you were away a lot. And Holly and I didn't have a car either, which made it hard to get around. So hopefully we'll get to catch up again sometime. But okay. Anyway, it was great talking to you again, John.
Thank you, Tony. God bless.
God bless. And folks, don't forget to subscribe to us at aminutetomidnight.com. And also we have Rumble, BitChute, Apple Podcasts, and a YouTube channel. I am telling you, YouTube censors us a lot. So if you can subscribe to us at the other places, that's much appreciated. And A Minute to Midnight is run 100% by donations. Greatly appreciate the people that donate to help us. And if you want to do that, you can do that at aminutetomidnight.com. God bless, stay safe, and we'll be back with another video, God willing, in a few days' time.